Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, or let us go on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands. And I'll just stop right there. Amen. Because we're going to talk about the laying on of hands this morning. Amen. And I know that this is old hat to some of you, but say amen like you've never heard it before. All right?
Amen.
Praise God. We'll have a good time.
Yes, sir.
And let's pray together right now and ask the Lord to help us. Somebody lift your voice. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your presence today. We lift you up. We lean on you this morning. We give you thanks, give you praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before you're seated, turn to someone and give them a big smile this morning. Wow. I'd like to take a picture this morning from up here. Praise, you can be seated. Praise God. God bless you this morning. It's so good to be here. When we look at the doctrine of the laying on of hands, we find that it's a principle of the apostolic faith. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to deeper understanding. And it's given to the church by God to use for good. Everybody said, for good.
Good.
For good. And for blessing his people. And the laying on of hands is God's method of transfer, where the blessings of God are transferred from the Lord to an individual by the laying on of hands. And when hands are laid on someone, there's a transfer of spiritual blessings that takes place, and that's the will of God. And as we look into this, we're going to see that there are four areas in Scripture relative to the doctrine of laying on of hands.
All right.
The infilling of the Holy Ghost, the establishment of a ministry calling, including spiritual gifts, divine healing, and the transfer of spiritual blessings to our children. And we want to talk about that here this morning because it is a principle, it is a foundational truth that we've got to have in our hearts. Or we can be deceived. So let's look at these and let's see what the Word of God has to say. First, we look at the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And obviously, not everyone is filled with the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. Not everyone is. But through this means, it is a scriptural practice and one that I've seen in my own ministry and in others' ministries as well, that there can be those that don't have the Holy Ghost and they haven't prayed through on their own. When the man of God comes and lays hands on them, they receive the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And this is evident in Scripture as well. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14 through verse 17. And I will turn to my reader here this morning.
Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
Well, somebody ought to say, praise God.
Praise God.
Well, if that happened today, it would be a great, great thing in our world. But the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. sometimes just to receive the word of God is not enough. There has to be a transfer of blessing, and that comes through the laying on of hands.
All right.
And they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he, the Holy Ghost, was fallen upon none of them, only were they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And this was brought about by Philip, the evangelist, and he had gone to Samaria and had preached Christ unto them. And we can go back to the Gospels, and we can see where Jesus talked to the lady at the well, and Samaria had received some of the Word of God,
yes.
And yet they had not received the experience that goes along with it.
All right.
And along that lines, the laying on of hands is a spiritual thing. It is not a physical, it is not a what's the word that I want to use, a ceremonial act, but it is a spiritual thing.
Yeah. Right.
And folks, we cannot survive just on word. We've got to have experience that goes along with the word. There has to be the living word. Amen. We need to have testimonies of miracles that have taken place among us. And of people that have received the Holy Ghost. How many has received the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands?
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's a wonderful thing. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Really is. Because I'm not just coming to hear somebody talk. I'm coming here to touch God,
yes,
and to feel God and to know that God is real in our church.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. That's where worship comes in. From the congregation, those of us that have this principle in our heart and we understand this, we don't have to go back to it over and over and over again, but we understand that through the laying on of hands, there are miracles that take place. Praise the Lord. Many, many years ago, we had revival services, and there was not as many as there is here this morning, and it looks good here this morning. And this young man had broken his arm. And some of you that were here at that time could say amen to that. And he came to church with a cast, and he was sitting back about where Brother Tucker is. And the evangelist that we had was preaching faith. And we went back and prayed for this young man, and God healed his broken arm. And he went back the next day to the doctor, and the doctor said, "We're going to take the cast off, and because the arm is completely healed." And that's what needs to take place in our congregation. Praise the Lord. And odd things can take place sometimes when the Lord begins to move. But somebody, his mother was at that service, and somebody asked her. She was a Baptist minister's wife, ex-wife. And they said, "My, that's exciting. God healed your son and healed his arm. Are you going to come back to service?" And she said, "I'm not going to come back at all." And that was kind of odd, and they were taken back. And they said, "Why?" And she said, "I don't want to get that close to God." But I want you to know that there are people that want to get close to God. And I believe that they're here this morning in the house of God. We want to get close to Him. And when we get close to Him, miracles take place. That's right. Miracles take place when we get close to God. Well, praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. And before we're finished here today, we're going to lay hands on some folks.
All right. Amen.
Praise God. I need some hands laid on me. Praise God. I need to pray through. Praise God. But Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the entire city was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's a spiritual thing. Repentance is spiritual. Baptism is spiritual. The Holy Ghost is spiritual. And we need all three of those. The Holy Ghost was not fallen on them, and several days, probably a couple of weeks, transpired before the apostles could come down and pray for them. Why didn't Philip just pray for them himself? Why didn't he just lay hands on them himself? We don't know the reason of that, but I believe the Lord was trying to establish that the elders are very important in our lives. That there is something about the pastor and there is something about the elders that we have in our life. And they're not as exuberant or maybe exciting as they used to be, but we're still elders.
Yes.
Amen. And there is an anointing that God has placed upon that. Because if there was no anointing upon that, they wouldn't be elders anymore. And so they sent Peter and John down to pray for them. And when Paul had laid it, I'm sorry, that's not the right one. They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. What a revival took place. Amen, in Samaria by the laying on of hands. Let's go also to Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?
Now listen to this. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There are many today that say, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are automatically filled with the Spirit of God. But if we look at the Word of God, that's not the case. That's not the case. Acts chapter 8, they believed Philip preaching the name of Jesus, but they did not have the Holy Ghost. Here we have it in Acts chapter 19 as well. Go ahead and continue, brother.
And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people.
Okay, now listen to this. I'm sorry to interrupt. But this is what John said to the people.
Okay.
All right, now read on.
That they should believe on him which should come after him. That is, on Christ Jesus.
All right. He would have made a good Baptist preacher. Praise God. John the Baptist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, praise God. A little bit of humor there.
Yeah.
You might try smiling just a little bit. It won't hurt you.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. But he told them, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that this morning. I believe it from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But what was John's message? John's message was repentance. When you believe the Lord, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or you accept him as your personal Savior, that is repentance. That was the message of John the Baptist, was repent. That's all he preached. You got to believe on him that would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now they'd already been baptized. They'd already been to the water, and here comes this preacher, and he says this. Go ahead.
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
When they heard this, they were rebaptized.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a valid baptism in John's day, but there was another baptism that was coming, and that was in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, praise God. If you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, it's not just a ceremonial thing that we do. In Acts chapter 2, he said it's for the remission of sins. In other words, our sins are not remitted until we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And when they saw the truth, amen, like Chuck and Dee, when they saw the truth, they wrestled with it for a while. But thank God they came to an understanding and a knowledge of the truth of God's word. Take me to the water. Let me be baptized. There's water here. What doth hinder us? Praise God. I like Brother Mike's attitude as well. Let's get after it. Let's do it. I want to be saved. Amen. I don't want to sit there in my pew puffed up in my pride and in my religious history of my own life and say that was good enough. Amen. What we need is the Word of God, and we need to follow the Word of God. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Go ahead and finish those verses.
And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
Well, praise God. We had a ministry in Boston on the music campus. I forget, it's a famous music college, and Berklee School of Music there in Boston. And they had a prayer meeting in their dormitory room. One of the men in our church was teaching them a Bible study, and he said, "All right, let's take a few days and let's fast and pray and repent." And they all got together and they fasted and they prayed for repentance so that they could repent. And when they began to pray sincerely to God, God filled them with the Holy Ghost. And they began to prophesy of things that would come. They didn't know anything about prophecy, but the Spirit of God moved on them and they began to prophesy. Amen. I want you to know this is a real thing that we are involved in here this morning. We're really going to heaven. Amen. We're really going to spend eternity somewhere. And we've got to understand the principles of living for God, or we're going to be sidetracked. Amen. We've got to know the truth. And the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied by the laying on of hands. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise God.
And so again, we see the ministry of laying on of hands for the express purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost. I want to just ask you this morning, do you need the Holy Ghost? Is it a casual thing? No, I don't need the Holy Ghost. I don't want the Holy Ghost. I want you to know that this morning, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost in your life. Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we don't belong to him if we don't have the Holy Ghost. We can do a lot of religious things, but he said there will be many that will come to me in that day and will say, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. But he said he will say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. How does he know us? He knows us. We know that he knows us, but here is the real truth of this is that he knows us when we are born into the family. There's probably, I don't know what day those two little boys are going to be here, but they're going to be birthed into this world. He's going to be birthed into the Cowan family. Amen. It's probably on the same day other babies that are going to be born. But they will come to you and say, here's a baby. You want this one? I don't know you. I don't know you. You haven't been born into the family. Praise God. We know them because they're going to be born into the family. Jesus said you must be born again. That's how we get into the family of God, through the water and through the Spirit. Praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's move on. The next area of laying on of hands is for the confirmation of a ministry calling which will include spiritual gifts. And it's borne out in the life of Timothy. I don't know if I gave you 1 Timothy 4:14. All right, read that for us.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter.
Of the presbytery. Amen. Neglect not the gift that's in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. The word presbytery here in the Greek is the order of elders. Amen.
Right.
We've got to have elders in our life. And you're not just going to get up and get a little book of matches and set the world on fire.
Yeah.
Amen. Because it won't be very long. You'll be coming back for more matches.
Yeah. Right.
You know what? If you're going to be called of God to do something for the Lord, there has to be the approval and the anointing that is transferred to that individual by the elders, by the order of elders. Amen. And Timothy had been given instructions in reading and preparation for his ministry, but when the time came that he was ready, the elder ministers came and laid hands on him to accept and regard his ministry. Amen. I don't think I gave you 1 Timothy 5:22. I was just going to read that. It's not that long and not that very hard. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Lay hands on no man. Lay hands suddenly on no man. And I used to think that if it meant that if you go to the altar and lay hands on somebody without them knowing what's going on, they might punch you in the nose. And I used to say, lay hands on no man suddenly, lest thou be floored. Amen. And I've seen it happen that way. I've seen some goofy things over the years. Praise God. But that doesn't mean that it's of God.
Right.
Amen. When a man is called to the ministry, he's got to know that his calling is secure in times of trouble. Because ministry is not all roses and beautiful things.
Right.
And I'm not going to get into that. It's not my message here this morning. But there's going to come a time when you've got to question, or you will question, am I really called of God?
Yeah.
Does he really want me to do this? And some of you probably have gotten to that place in your life where you say, does God really want me to do this? You know, you can't just say, I'm out of here. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to go somewhere else. Although Augusta, Kansas is my fifth pastorate, and I left my home church. I knew I was not going to evangelize, and this is the fifth place that I've been in my ministry, and God has blessed it. God blessed the other places as well. But we have to follow the Lord.
Amen.
And we have to understand that we are called of God.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, I don't really put much stock into someone saying that they are being called of God and just going out on their own. Amen. We have had those that have left us here and have said, well, if I have to, I'll have church in my home. I'm telling you what, God will not bless that.
Right.
Now, are you listening here this morning?
Yeah.
God will not bless that because it is not according to the proper order that God has placed in the principles of the doctrine of Christ. There has to be laying on of hands. And if there's not laying on of hands, it won't be blessed.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
My pastor, he was very straightforward at times, most of the time. And he was a tremendous teacher. Him and his wife was at a mall in a very thickly populated area of apostolics. And they saw a couple. And they confronted them and said, where do you go to church? They said, oh, we don't go to church. We have church in our home. And he said, oh, you're one of those folks that are rebellious. He just laid it right on them. You're those folks that are rebellious. You can't submit to leadership in your life. Well, praise the Lord. This is good stuff. And it'll save you. Amen. Because somebody's going to come along and say, I'm called of God. and I'm a preacher or I'm a prophet or any other things. Amen. But you've got to be able to discern between the spirits.
Yes. Yes.
Be able to discern the spirit, the Bible says.
Amen. Yes.
And how do we do that? We do that by the principles. Amen. If he comes along and he does not preach one God, it's over.
Amen.
Amen. If the church doesn't believe in one God, it's over.
Yeah.
I'm not going back.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
If they don't baptize in Jesus' name, well, you're not looking for another church anyway. But some folks find themselves in that position. And I've had many people ask me in Bible studies, you know, well, there's so many churches, which one is right? And I said, that's a very simple answer to that one. Amen. And I thank God for a church of truth and a pastor that preaches the truth. Amen. And stands for what is right in the Word of God. Somebody can say amen. And so we need the establishment of ministry by the elders. Amen. And some examples of this, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I hope you're following along in your Bible. Did I put that one down? All right, go ahead.
And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration.
They didn't have enough help in the nursing home.
Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the same pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost.
All right, everybody said Stephen.
Stephen.
Or Stephen, however you want to say it.
Stephen.
Amen. They chose Stephen. I'll just use Stephen this morning. I'm used to that. Amen. They chose him to wait on tables. Grandma, what would you like for dessert? Sir, do you need a napkin? Another glass of milk? We're all done with breakfast. Who's going to sweep and mop the floor? That's what this was. Now go ahead.
Amen. And Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
This is a principle of the doctrine of Christ, of the laying on of hands. Amen. We have Sunday school teachers. We have, in the past, have had people to minister in the nursing homes. And I believe that we need to understand the laying on of hands.
Yes.
And the ministry here, I am sure, could seem mundane and ordinary, but it was looked at in the early church as very important. It was necessary for spiritual strength in ministry. Because, folks, if you're going to get involved, and I believe this morning that all of us need to be involved in something.
Yes.
I've always
Amen.
Felt that way.
Yes.
I've always Amen. Felt that way. And I appreciate those of you that have given yourself to that. But you know as well as I do that after a time of doing something, you can get weary, and it can press down on your shoulders, and it's not a ministry anymore. It's a duty. Amen. But what we need is ministry in the church.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. From those that wait on tables to those that preach the word of God and everything in between. Amen. Because we are one body. Praise God. All right, Acts 13 and verse 1 through 3.
Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Menean, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
Amen. It wasn't just Paul and or Saul and Barnabas. Amen. It was the Holy Ghost and it was the elders.
Amen.
It was the elders that had said, we agree that this is the way it is. They need to go and they need to minister. Because when Paul and Barnabas went out in their ministry, I'll tell you what, they had some tough days. They had some tough days. You just read about his Christian resume. Amen. If you were looking for someone for a minister in a church, you wouldn't get a resume like Paul's. Beaten with rods, suffered shipwreck, stoned to death. Amen. Those are just a few things. Praise God. I haven't had those things happen to me, and I thank God for that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Some people can handle it. I don't know if I could handle it. But I know I would be able to handle it if the elders had anointed it.
Yeah. Sure. Yes.
And there was a transfer of spiritual power.
Yes.
Amen. And so we know who Barnabas and Paul was, or Saul. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, well, let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 through 15.
Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence.
Amen. Well, the disciples thought they were just a bunch of snotty-nosed kids. Just a little rugrat. But you know what? They're not little rugrats. They're a part of the church, and they're a part of God's eye. Amen. And the disciples rebuked them. And said, we got more important things to do than with kids. But I'll tell you what, kids are very important.
Yeah.
Young people are very important. And Jesus laid his hands on them. He said, these are like the kingdom of God. And he put his hands on them. We need to put our hands on the kingdom of God, just like he put his hands on those little children. Amen. Because they are very important to God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Genesis 27 and verse 4. Did I give you that one? This is where Isaac was going to transfer the blessing. He said, "And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And we know that Isaac was about to die. He did pass away, but he laid his hands upon Jacob. And Genesis chapter 28, 12 through 15, we can see that it was not just Isaac putting his hands upon Jacob. It was God putting his hands upon Jacob.
And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest.
Praise God.
And will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of.
Praise God. And Jacob was really not in line for the blessing. Amen. It was Esau that should have been blessed by Isaac. I'm going to get my names all mixed up here. Praise the Lord. But God anointed the laying on of hands to his children.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
We need to use our hands for blessing.
Yeah. All right.
I know sometimes we spank our children, you know, but God made it that way.
Yeah.
And we're just following the word of God.
Yes, sir.
And he knew that there was a place on the body, amen, where if it is struck hardly with a hand, amen, it will produce pain. But it will not hurt the person.
Right.
Well, somebody smiled just a little bit.
Amen.
My dad spanked us.
Yeah.
And I only remember one time he did it with a fly swatter. Wow. I can tell Brother Mike is saying, I wish my dad would have used a fly swatter. Well, praise God. And I thought I was going to die. And he took my brother in, he'd take us into the bathroom. And my brother started screaming like he was going to die. And I thought, he's going to kill Mike. He's mad and he's going to kill him. Praise God. And then when he took me in there, I was like, oh my, it was bad. Praise God. Fly swatter. Well, praise the Lord. We need to spank our children when they need it. And with love. Amen. With love. But there are other times that we need to bless our children with our hands. Praise God. When we lay our hands upon them at night and pray with them and say their prayers at night. Amen. They need to feel the strong hand of dad and the tender hand of mother, amen, to help them along the way.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I need to hurry. What a blessing it is to have spiritual leadership in your parents, that they can give you a blessing. And for some of us, for some of you, I've had a father in my life, and he was a tremendous dad. And I appreciate everything that he did for me and taught me. But there are many, many today, many in our generation that have grown up without a father figure.
Yeah.
And many without a mother figure as well. By the middle of my junior year in high school, I had lost both of my parents. And you say, well, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get my blessing from? If you're in that situation this morning, the church is your answer.
Amen.
Right.
The family of God is your answer to get your blessing and to get the approval of your elder. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's finish with healing, laying on of hands for healing. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 through 25.
And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up, and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly.
Well, praise God.
Thank you,
wonder how that would work here this morning. Anybody need a healing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Show me where it's at and I'll spit on it. I don't know if that would work, Pastor. You'd have to get an evangelist here and let it, because he's going to be gone. Praise God. Well, he laid his hands upon him. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe.
All right. It's going to follow the believers. The believers are not going to follow the signs. But the signs are going to follow the believers. Remember that. In my name.
In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Now listen.
They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Well, praise God. James chapter 5, verse 14. I skipped, but let's read that one.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick.
Yes.
And the Lord shall rise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Well, praise God. What a powerful thing that takes place.
Yes, sir.
When we operate in the laying on of hands.
Yes. Amen.
I just want to say in closing here this morning that we need to beware of false teachers. Who want to lay hands on everybody. We've had our share of those here. One couple came from Tulsa, and they said the Lord told us to come here and to be a part of this service. And they started to lay hands on the young girls. And I stopped. No, we don't do that here. Well, what if they get the wrong impression? Who cares? We're going to do it right. Had a lady that came and she said she was a prophetess and she had the gift of healing. And we had some new converts in the church. And it's amazing how they go after the new converts. And if you're a new convert and you have a question, don't let it, just anybody pray for you. Somebody on the job, well, I've got the gift of healing, I want to pray for you. Well, hold on, let me think about that for a while.
Yeah.
I'll get back with you in a few years. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And she was wanting to pray over one of the ladies. And the lady's son stopped her and said, we don't do that here.
Yeah.
And she got really angry. You know, when you oppose people, sometimes they get angry.
Yeah.
Because that's really the spirit that they're of.
Yeah. Yeah,
amen. I'll finish this one before I go to another one. Amen. And so I went over. She was actually sitting where Sister Sarah is. And she told me, she said, I have the gift of prophecy. I said, no, you don't. Somebody has to say what it is.
Yeah. Right.
She said, well, I have the gift of healing. I said, no, you don't. She said, well, how do you know? I said, well, prophets and healers don't smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Well, praise God.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's a farce. She said, I'll never be back. Well, she wasn't a liar. She never came back. Praise God. We've got to be careful. We had a man come one time. I hope this is all right. We had a man come one time, and he was in the back over where Brother Tucker is. Brother Tucker's in a real interesting spot over there. A lot of things happen back there. Praise God. He kept raising his hand. He wanted attention. He wanted me to acknowledge. He had a question, but he really wanted to preach. And I ignored him, and after service he caught me. And I knew he wanted my attention, and I knew he was there for trouble. So I walked out onto the front porch, and he followed right after me. And he started railing, and very angry. Brother Charlie, you may remember this. And he just went on and on. I said, "Sir, this, sir, that." He wouldn't listen. And so he got in my face, and he was almost screaming at me. And Brother Micah, I just went like this. It was the Holy Ghost. I put my hand over his mouth like that. And I said, "In Jesus' name, be quiet." I laid hands on him. He had a little cookie duster. And it tickled my hand when I put it on there. And he was... And when I lifted my hand off, Pastor, he got bewildered. He didn't know, like, he didn't know where he was. And he looked around at the other men and he said, did you see what he just did? And he was gone. Gone with the wind. Amen. And the Lord showed me, the Lord spoke to me and told me he was a wizard and that he was involved in witchcraft and just came to disrupt the service. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God for principles that we live by.
Yes, amen.
Can we stand together this morning? In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God this morning. Thank you, Lord, for anointing these lips of clay. Help us as a church to be founded upon principles, the principles of the Word of God that are sure and true and fast. In the name of Jesus, help our new ones, Lord, to found their life upon the principles of the Word of God, that we may grow to perfection and be what you want us to be. Stand strong until the rapture day. In the name of Jesus. Can we just worship the Lord this morning?
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. And if there's anyone here this morning that needs the Holy Ghost, come and we'll lay hands upon you. And you'll receive the Holy Ghost this morning. You need healing this morning. Why don't you just come and we'll pray for you and lay hands upon you this morning, because it's a principle. It's a principle of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.